You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, we're on the record. State of Arizona versus Lori Daybell. The attorneys are present. The defendant's present. The jury is not present. We ready to bring in the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Let's bring in the jury. The jury is now present. Please be seated. All right, the defendant can proceed with her opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have been charged with a crime, a serious crime. And the only question here is, did I commit this crime? Conspiracy. Conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to commit a crime. Okay. There has to be an agreement. There has to be a plan. The evidence in this case will show that Charles Vallow and I got married in February 2006. It will show that it was my fourth marriage and Charles' third marriage. At that time, we each had two children. I had Colby, who was 9, and Tylee, who was 3. Charles had Cole, who was also 9, and Zach, who was 7. The evidence will show that our family moved from Austin, Texas, to Chandler, Arizona in 2009. The evidence will show that Charles and I adopted our great-nephew, JJ, who was born in 2012. It will also show that Charles and I were married for over 13 years and were raising 5 children. The evidence will show that I was a licensed cosmetologist and worked as a hairstylist for 20 years while we lived in Austin, Texas. The evidence will show that Charles was a licensed life insurance salesman and worked as an independent contractor, selling life insurance policies and annuities, and owned his own business. The evidence will show that Charles and I purchased life insurance policies early in our marriage, and Charles had them issued to the maximum amount possible to each of us. The evidence will show that Charles was 17 years older than me, and that because of Charles' age and an issue that he had with high blood pressure, the maximum amount of life insurance that could be approved for Charles was $1 million. The maximum amount of life insurance that I could be approved for because of my age and my health was $2 million. The evidence will show that throughout our 13-year marriage, that we always had life insurance policies. When a 10-year policy lapsed, Charles would shop for another company who would approve us for the maximum amount of life insurance. The evidence will show that this was Charles' job. This is what he did. I helped him in this business, and this is what he did. The evidence will show that in 2016, Charles repurchased a new $2 million life insurance policy on me, and he was the sole beneficiary. The evidence will show that Charles and I had a happy marriage for 13 years, that he was, in fact, a baseball player, and that he played high school, college ball, and triple-A ball, and that he was, in fact, a left-handed pitcher, a southpaw, they call him, but he was a right-handed batter, as could be attested to by anybody who knew Charles well and his high school baseball coach, Greg Davis. The evidence will show that Tylee was, in 2014, our family moved from Chandler, Arizona to Kauai, Hawaii. We lived there for 3.5 years and returned to Chandler in 2017. The evidence will show that Tylee was 3 years old when Charles and I got married, and that when she became a teenager, the relationship between Tylee and her stepfather, Charles, became so difficult that Tylee and Charles had to seek a therapist, a family therapist, to stop them from fighting. The evidence will show that together, Charles and Tylee met with this therapist after we moved back to the mainland in 2017. The evidence will show that in April of 2018, Tylee's biological father passed away from a heart attack. And at that time, Charles called Social Security and made an appointment at the Social Security office.
I'm going to object to hearsay.
Sustain.
It will show that we did get Social Security for Tylee for her deceased father until she was 18 years old, and she was 15 years old at the time. The evidence will show that Charles and Tylee's fighting increased greatly in January of 2019 when Charles and I temporarily separated. The evidence will show that several people witnessed these terrible arguments between Tylee and Charles that increased to physical in 2019. Charles and Tylee had major increasing arguments, two in February of 2019, one of March in 2019, which was captured on video, one in May of 2019, one in June of 2019, and then the worst of all in July 2019. The evidence will show that in March of 2019, Charles pulled JJ out of his special school and moved him to Houston, Texas, while we were temporarily separated. Tylee and I then joined Charles and JJ in Texas in April 2019 to reconcile. The evidence will show that JJ was diagnosed with severe autism when he was 3 years old while we lived in Hawaii. The evidence will show that for 2 years, JJ was attending a school in Gilbert, Arizona, a special school for children with autism. It's called Lawrence Life Academy. The evidence will show that in June of 2019, in JJ's best interest, Tylee, JJ, and I moved back to Chandler, Arizona to re-enroll JJ back in Lawrence Life Academy since he had a difficult time with the Houston, Texas schools with no services for his autism. The evidence will show that Charles and I agreed it was in JJ's best interest to be in school where more services were available to him, so Charles and I rented a house here in Chandler. On the day in question, July 11th, 2019, Charles and I were renting two houses, one in Houston, Texas, where he mainly resided, and one in Chandler, Arizona, where I resided with our two minor children, Tylee and JJ. By this time, our three older boys, Colby, Cole, and Zach, were adults and not living at home any longer. The evidence will show that during the months of June and July, that my husband, Charles Vallow, began to send me threatening text messages. These messages were seen by my sister, Summer, and that worried her. The evidence will show that Charles insisted on flying into Phoenix on July 10th. As we've heard from the state, the evidence will show that I advised Charles that he could not stay with us at the Chandler house because he could not get along with Tylee, and I did not want them to get into another fight like they had 3 weeks prior. The evidence will show that it was ultimately decided between Charles and I on text messages that he would stay in a hotel because he traveled for business all the time and stayed in hotels all the time, and that I would book it for him since I worked for him and booked all of his travel. The evidence will show that Charles did, in fact, fly into Phoenix on Wednesday, July 10th, and stayed in the hotel that I booked for him. The evidence will show that Charles paid to fly my brother Adam Cox into Phoenix from Kansas on the same day, Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. The evidence will show that Charles planned to come to our Chandler home and pick up JJ and drive him to school on Thursday morning, July 11th, 2019. The evidence will also show you that Lauren's Life Academy opens its gates at 8:25 a.m. in the morning. And the evidence will show that Charles showed up at our Chandler residence around 7:30 in the rental car I booked for him on the morning of Thursday, July 11th, 2019. The evidence will show that Charles began texting with my brother, Adam Cox, before he entered our residence. and that Charles and Adam were discussing in their text communications that my other brother, Alex Cox, was at the residence. The evidence will show that on the morning of July 11th, that Tylee was asleep in her room and my brother Alex was asleep in the guest room. The evidence will show that when Charles entered the house, only JJ and I were awake and present. The evidence will show that after we put JJ in the rental car, that Charles came back into the residence to receive his phone, leaving JJ in the front seat of the rental car with the engine running. He was 7 years old. The evidence will show that Charles began to scream at me when I refused to hand him his phone. The evidence will show that Charles' screaming woke up Tylee and Alex. The evidence will show that Tylee came out of her room with a bat to protect me, her mother, from her stepfather, Charles Belt. The evidence will show that Tylee and Charles fought over the bat, and that after a struggle over the bat, Tylee fell onto the ground, and Charles lifted up the bat to hit Tylee with the bat. The evidence will show that Alex then intervened to protect Tylee from being hit with the bat. He did not have a gun. He was not wearing a shirt. He was pulling up his jeans because he just woke up and came into the room where he heard the screaming. The evidence will show that Alex and Charles got into a physical struggle for the bat and fell onto the ground. The evidence will show that Tylee, who was on the ground, was lifted up by me and sent outside to get away from the struggle and to protect JJ, who was still in the running car, in the rental car, in the driveway. The evidence will show that after the struggle on the ground between Charles and Alex, that Charles prevailed with the bat and began to come towards me with the bat as I ran away from him into the kitchen. The evidence will show that at some point while I was running away from Charles, who was chasing me with the bat, that Alex apparently retrieved his gun. The evidence will show that I ran outside to the children and that Alex shot Charles in self-defense. The evidence will show that Tylee and I had both run outside without shoes. The evidence will show that JJ was still in the front seat of the rental car with the engine running and struggling to get out of the car. Tylee was trying to keep him in. The evidence will show that Tylee and I got into the rental car with JJ and drove away. The evidence will show you that I drove the children away from the residence towards JJ's school.
Can I grab a tissue?
Yes.
The evidence will show that I drove the children through the Burger King drive-thru that Charles had promised JJ. The evidence will show that we continued to drive towards JJ's school and that the gate was not yet open at JJ's school. So we drove a block west of the school to a Walgreens where I ran in to purchase flip-flops for JJ, for Tylee and myself so that we could walk JJ into school on the hot pavement. The evidence will show that Tylee and I returned directly to our residence where we met with police in our driveway. The evidence will show that we were spoken to by the Chandler police officers. And the evidence will show that Tylee and I were told by the Chandler police detectives that Charles had passed away. The evidence will show that we were put into a police van and driven to the Chandler Police Department. The evidence will show that Alex was taken by police in a police car to the Chandler Police Department, and that we were all three separated into interrogation rooms and we were each interviewed. The evidence will show that next, Tylee and I were brought back together into a room at the Chandler Police Department and were introduced to a victim's advocate. who was very kind to us. The evidence will show that after speaking to the victim's advocate, that Tylee, Alex, and myself were put back into the police van and driven back to our residence. We were directed by the Chandler detectives to take the rental car and return later to the residence after we picked up JJ from school. The evidence will show that we did as instructed by the Chandler detectives. The evidence will show that we drove to Alex's residence where we attended to the wound on the back of his head. The evidence will show that Alex was then contacted by the Chandler detectives to return to the residence so that Alex could walk them through the events that occurred with the detectives at the residence. The evidence will show that Alex, Tylee, and I did return to the residence as instructed. And the evidence will show that Alex entered into the residence with Detective Moffitt, but that Tylee and I were met by Detective England in the front yard. The evidence will show that at the time, Detective England asked Tylee and myself if we had Charles' cell phone. Tylee retrieved Charles' cell phone from the rental car and gave it to Detective England at 3:11 p.m. on July 11th, 2019. And at that time, Charles' phone was placed in the custody of Chandler Police Detectives. The evidence will show that Detective England asked us if we knew the passcode on Charles' phone, which Tylee proceeded to give to Detective England. The evidence will show that Tylee and I left the residence to pick up JJ from school, while Alex remained at the residence with the detectives. The evidence will show that by the time Tylee, JJ, and I returned to the residence, that all police, EMS, CSI, and detectives were gone from the residence and only Alex remained. The evidence will show that the next day, I contacted Chandler Police to inform them that Charles' belongings were still at the hotel. I asked the detective if I should go get them, and I was told that they would take care of it. The evidence will show that I asked the detectives, what should we do next? And they directed us that they would contact us in about 3 weeks after their supervisor passed off their reports and Alex could go to the police station and retrieve his gun. The evidence will show that the last thing I heard from Chandler Police Department until June of 2021, 2 years later, when I received a grand jury indictment from them for this alleged crime. The evidence will show that Chandler Police treated this incident as self-defense.
And object to that?
Objection sustained. The jury should disregard that last statement.
The evidence will show you that my brother, Alex Cox, passed away on December 12th, 2019, almost exactly 5 months to the day after Charles, my husband, passed away. The evidence will show that Alex passed away from a blood clot in his lung.
Objection again.
I'll sustain the objection. It's not relevant for this matter.
The evidence will show you that I am the only person being charged with this crime.
I'm going to object to the relevance of that.
Sustained.
As the state has mentioned, they're alleging that insurance money was my motive. Social Security was my motive. Spouses having insurance policies is not a crime. Collecting Social Security is not a crime. Self-defense is not a crime. A family tragedy is not a crime. It's a tragedy. Thank you.
All right, the state can call its first witness.
Thank you. If I may go get him.
Sir, you're going to come up right here. My clerk will swear you in right here.
W-I-E-R-Z-V-I-C-K-I.
And your first name?
I-R-W-I.
Thank you. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
All right, you're going to have a seat up here.
Sir, would you please tell the jury your name?
My name is Sergeant Erwin Wurzbicki. I work for the Chandler Police Department.
How long have you worked for the Chandler Police Department?
June will be 10 years.
Did you have any prior law enforcement experience?
10 years in Illinois.
On July 11th of 2019, what were your duties at that time?
I was working as a patrol officer, I believe in Beat 18.
And what were your hours?
0600 to 1600.
Is that 6 a.m.?
6 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yes. Thank you. Were you dispatched to a residence at 5531 South Four Peaks Place in Chandler, Maricopa County, Arizona?
Yes, ma'am.
And what were you dispatched for?
It was a shooting.
Were you the first on the scene when you arrived?
I was, ma'am.
Okay. What were you wearing at the time?
I was in full patrol uniform.
Does the Chandler Police Department back then, did they have body-worn camera?
They did.
And can you describe where that was and how that works?
I believe back then I wore it on my left shoulder.
Okay. And how does it get activated?
You have to press a button and it'll turn it on.
Does it normally record audio?
Yes.
And did you have that on and did you activate it when you arrived to this scene?
Yes, ma'am.
Were there other officers on scene at some point when you got there?
After I arrived, yes.
Sorry about that.
What other officers arrived on scene?
Right after I arrived, Officer Krautheim arrived.
Can you describe to us sort of what happened as you get to the scene? How did you and Officer Krautheim, handle the situation?
When I was getting out of the car, I believe the gentleman that called in was still on the phone, and we advised dispatch to tell him to come out with nothing in his hands except his phone. As he opened up or came out the front door, I started giving him commands as what I wanted him to do.
So you're talking with dispatch. Is that the same as 911?
Yes, yeah, the same dispatch center.
So is the person who's talking to the 911 person then just relaying information to you?
Yes.
Okay. So you're able to tell that person, tell dispatch to tell the person to come out?
Yes.
Did you and Officer Krautheim have someone come out?
Yes.
Can you describe for us the person's demeanor as they're first exiting?
He was very nonchalant, very compliant with us.
Okay. You said he still had his phone?
Yes.
Do you recall if his other hand was up?
I do not recall.
Okay. Do you recall where he came out of from the house?
He came out the front door.
Okay. When he exited the house, what did you guys have him do?
We gave him commands to come towards us and then have a seat on the curb.
Okay. So there's just two of you officers still at this point?
Yes.
What did you do at this point?
I decided to go check for anybody that was injured inside and clear the house, make sure there was nobody else in there.
Okay. What did Officer Krautheim do?
I believe he started speaking to the gentleman that we had come out the house.
So he stayed outside?
Yes.
And you went into the house?
Yes, ma'am.
When you talk about clearing the house, can you tell us what that means? What do you do?
We just wanted to make sure that if anyone needed aid rendered to them, we could render aid to them, or if there are any more suspects in the residence, that we could try to apprehend them.
Does that mean that you walked through the entire house?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And all that's when your body cam is on?
Yes, ma'am.
When you first entered that house, can you describe for us what you saw when you walked in that front door?
Yeah, initially when I walked in, it opened up into like a day room or something like that. And just off to the right, I saw somebody laying on the ground, motionless.
Did you notice anything about that room?
It was empty.
So no furniture?
No furniture, yeah. It was just an empty room.
The person that you saw to the right, male or female?
Male.
And can you describe how you saw him laying on the ground?
Yeah, he was laying on his back, I believe with both of his hands to his side, motionless. And then I went up over to him to check his pulse.
Is that standard for police to check the welfare of any potential victims?
Yes.
When you checked the pulse, did you find one?
No.
Did you notice anything else about this victim?
Yeah, I noticed that there were two apparent gunshot wounds to his chest area, and there was blood pooling in like his kind of like neck collar area.
Did he appear to still be alive to you?
No.
As part of your job, both with your prior experience in Illinois and your experience here in Arizona, have you seen deceased people before?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you think this person was dead?
Yes, ma'am.
If you didn't think he was dead, are police trained to do CPR?
Yes, ma'am. We're all certified to.
Would you have done that if you believed that would have helped him?
Absolutely.
So even though a person appears deceased to you, is fire still called out to check on them?
Yes.
Why is that?
They go through their own process and procedures, and I believe they usually give the official time of death.
Okay. Did you notice anything else in that room where that male was lying?
I can't think of anything right now, no.
Do you recall seeing any projectiles on the ground near the victim?
Objection, leading.
The yes or no question.
I believe I did, yes.
Okay. When you walked in the house after you saw this male on the ground, did you continue through the house?
Yes, ma'am.
And was that to clear it?
Yes.
And will paramedics or fire come in if you haven't cleared the house yet?
Usually no.
So they want to make sure it's okay as well?
Yes.
After you cleared the house, did you, or as you were clearing the house, did you ever locate any weapons?
Yes, I believe we located a firearm in one of the back bedrooms.
Okay. Did you touch that in any way?
I don't recall.
Okay. After you cleared the house, did fire enter?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did fire do?
They began to try to render aid to the victim.
By the time fire came in, were other officers now on scene?
Yes.
Were you still wearing and recording with your body cam?
Yes, ma'am.
Does the body cam, you told us that it's on your shoulder, does it always show where you're looking?
No.
So your eyes or your head can be turned to a different direction than what the camera is actually showing?
Yeah, if I was turned and talking to the judge, my camera would be facing the crowd.
I want to show you a video. And if I can have my paralegal bring that up and have him identify it. And sir, if you can just look at that and let me know if you recognize that as your body cam, minus the audio of it.
Yeah, that's my body cam.
Do you recognize that as you in it?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have previously watched that?
Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, the state will move to admit exhibit number 2, I believe. Exhibit number two into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
Two is admitted.
And Your Honor, we may publish it?
You may.
So this is the house you're walking up to, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
As you're talking to dispatch?
Yes.
And this is the individual that is coming out that you asked dispatch to have come out?
Yes, ma'am.
And is that Officer Krautheim in the back?
It is.
Are you announcing?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that standard?
Yes.
That where you checked to see if this male had a pulse?
Yes, ma'am.
That the weapon that you told us that you found?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you letting people know on your radio that you've found a weapon?
I believe so, yes.
You told us that other officers were arriving?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what we see here happening?
Yes.
And is fire also starting to come in?
I believe they were right behind him, yes.
But you continued to clear the rest of the house?
Yes, ma'am.
So what do we see there?
It appears that the fire is rendering aid to the victim, or attempting to.
Were you walking around trying to find identification for the individual on the ground?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you able to ever find an identification for him?
I was not.
So no wallet laying around?
No.
No ID in his pocket?
I didn't check his pockets, but no, I don't think fire found one.
So you're kind of talking with them to let them know who this is as well?
Yes.
Because they're documenting it?
Yes.
And is that the individual who came out with the phone from the house?
Yes, ma'am.
One that dispatch and 911 told to come out?
Yes.
When you were interacting with him there, what was his demeanor like?
He was extremely calm.
You told us that you were looking for the wallet for this individual. Did it seem unusual to you that you couldn't find one?
I wouldn't say it was unusual. I didn't know if he lived there or not, so I just kind of looked around to see if there was anything laying around.
Is this you still trying to see if there's anything in the residence that might be related to that individual?
I think I was just giving Officer Cohen a recap of what I already went and looked through.
Defense counsel or defendant exhibits 3 and 4. I have a paralegal from those two up to the officer to review as well. Do you recognize those as sort of screenshots of two different views during your body cam footage?
Yes.
State will move to admit exhibits 3 and 4.
Any objection?
No objection.
3 and 4 admitted.
And if I may publish them. So in this photo, when you were looking at it, were you able to see here is where you are checking to see the pulse of this individual?
Yes, ma'am.
And did this also reflect what you had talked about of the blood pooling that had run towards his neck area?
Yes.
Exhibit 4. Is this sort of when we first see you walk back in and we see fire working on the individual?
Yes.
You told us that when that individual who was on the call with 911 came out, that you observed the phone with him. He was kind of holding it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any other phone in the house as you were looking around? Anything obvious laying around?
I don't recall, no. I don't believe I did.
Okay. No phone on the ground near the deceased male?
Not that I recall, no.
After you had cleared the house, allowed fire to enter, and other officers were arriving, were you tasked with going out to put up some crime scene tape?
Yes, ma'am.
What does that mean?
It's just tape that keeps the general public out, keeps the media out, so we have a secure scene, and it doesn't get tainted by anybody or anything.
So that included both the house and some of the street?
Yes, ma'am.
Did that sort of end your involvement?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
All right. Cross-examination.
It's Sergeant Wurzbicki, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to get that right. Okay. You said that the individual exiting the house was nonchalant. Is that correct?
I don't know if I used those words, but he seemed very calm, yes.
Very calm?
Yes.
Is that the same thing to you as nonchalant?
I wouldn't use that word, so I would say he looked very calm and unbothered.
But you said nonchalant a minute ago.
I don't recall saying that.
Okay. Does everyone act the same in a stressful situation that you've experienced? No? Are you qualified to give someone a psychological evaluation?
No.
No. You put your hand on my husband's neck for checking for a pulse, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what you did when you first came in?
Yes.
Did you perform CPR?
No.
No. Why not?
Because it was apparent to me that he was deceased.
And that's not your protocol?
To what?
To perform CPR until fire comes in?
Not if it's going to make it even worse because they had apparent gunshot wounds to the chest.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, if I start pumping on his chest, it's going to start spewing blood out of his chest even at a more rapid pace.
So when the 911 operator was telling my brother to do that, that same thing would happen?
All depends on when the call came in to dispatch.
But I'm saying if you're doing CPR on someone with a gunshot wound in the chest, on the chest.
Could, yes.
Yeah. Okay. You said something else. You said fire gives official time of death. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what was that time of death? Do you know?
I do not recall.
And you cleared the house before fire came in. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were looking for some kind of identification?
When yes? I cleared the house?
Yes.
I was looking for other potential victims and or suspects.
Okay. But you were told on the phone that no one else was in the house but Alex. Is that correct?
I don't recall if I was told that or not.
Okay. Do you have any crime scene investigation experience?
Just my 20 years of experience as a police officer.
And you said something about, and this is just for me to understand, you said something about the casings being to the left of him or to the right of him?
I didn't say they were to the left or to the right.
Oh, did you say west or east?
No.
Oh, sorry, that was my interpretation. Can you tell me what the weapon was that you found?
It was a handgun.
Was it a .45?
Don't recall.
Okay. Could you tell what direction the bullet came from?
Based off the way the body was laying, I could assume it came from where his feet were at.
Near the feet?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the projectile that was in the baseboard?
I don't recall if I saw that or not.
You said he did not appear alive, that you already thought that he was deceased. Is that correct, when you entered into the house?
Yes.
And what time was that?
I believe I was dispatched to the call at 8:41. So, I mean, if I was going to make a guess on what time I walked into the house, I would say I was probably at the residence within 10 minutes.
So around 8:51, perhaps?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. And then when fire took over, is that the normal protocol for fire to take over and do the CPR?
Yes.
And so you didn't do CPR, but they did do the CPR. Is that correct?
Yes.
on top of the gunshot wound?
Yes.
Is that normal protocol?
I don't know what their protocol is.
Okay. I'm just asking because I wouldn't think to do that either. And then you said that you went outside to put up the crime scene tape. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So you were, after you cleared the house, you left and went to the front yard?
Yes.
And then you were there for how long at the residence before you left?
I couldn't give you a time.
Did you stay for a while, or was that the end of your job there?
I don't recall. It was a long time ago. I have no idea how long I was actually on scene for.
And who is your direct supervisor?
Like, I believe that day was Sergeant Nocella.
I'm sorry, what was the last name?
Nocella.
Okay. And what contact did you have with Detective Moffitt that day?
I don't know if I had any with him on scene.
Okay. What about Detective England, perhaps?
I may have briefly spoke to her while I was on scene.
Okay. One time? Two times? Three times?
I couldn't tell you a number.
Okay. And then when you have to report to your superior before you left the scene?
He was on scene, I would imagine.
Nocella?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Okay. And then you don't know what time you left, but you arrived at approximately 8:51?
Give or take, yes.
And then did you see me arrive at the scene?
I think as I was leaving, yes.
So approximately around the time that I arrived, you were leaving?
I don't know if I left when you arrived, but I was on my way out of the crime scene as far as I know.
Okay. And then you... said something about two wounds. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how did you see the two wounds through the shirt?
This was an observation that I made when I saw him laying on the ground.
So did you see two holes in the shirt?
I'm not sure exactly what I saw when I was there, but I could see that there were two apparent gunshot wounds to his chest.
And then I'm sure, well, I won't speak for you. So when they began CPR, they did open his shirt. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
Because when you walked by, his shirt was open.
Objection to question.
Yeah, please ask questions only.
Did you discuss this case with Sergeant Nocella?
I don't believe so. I would imagine he would have been on scene and he got briefed by the detectives.
He got briefed by the detectives? Is that what you said?
In fact, I would imagine, yes.
Okay. And then have you spoken to the case agent on this case? How many times would you say?
Who's the case agent?
Oh, Detective Duncan. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've spoken to him many times in my career.
Regarding this case, how many times do you think you've spoken to Detective Duncan?
I couldn't even put a number on it. I would say very few.
Very few? Mm-hmm. Like, how many would you guess?
I would say maybe five times.
Five times. Thank you. And would that be in-person kind of discussions, or?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say they were discussions, probably just in passing.
Okay. So how many times have you emailed with Detective Duncan concerning this case?
Objection, relevance.
Overruled, you can answer if you know.
I have no idea.
What about text messages?
No idea.
Phone calls?
Ma'am, I have no idea.
Okay. And your report that you wrote about this, what about how long after the incident did you make your report?
It was done by the end of my work shift at 4 o'clock.
And then did you ever make any revisions to that report?
I don't believe so.
So you left the scene approximately sometime in the morning, and by 4 o'clock that day, you had written your report.
Yes.
Is that correct? And you've never changed anything on your report?
Not that I recall, ma'am.
And the report is exactly as you left it when you... Did you review it for this testimony today?
Yes.
And it was exactly the same as when you wrote it at 4 p.m. on July 11th?
I don't know if I wrote it at 4 p.m.
Or done by 4 p.m.
It appears to be yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Redirect.
Sergeant, you were asked about the shooter's demeanor. Were you just telling us what you observed?
Yes.
What did you observe?
I just observed him very calm and collected after just shooting somebody.
And that's both seeing him come out as well as having some interaction with him on the curb?
Yes, ma'am.
When a person is been shot and you check for a pulse and you believe they are deceased, as a police officer, are you supposed to touch the body?
No.
Is the body basically a crime scene?
Yes.
Based upon your training and experience, did you believe that the victim was deceased?
Yes, ma'am.
Do fire have EKG heart monitors and things that they use to determine if maybe you missed a pulse?
Yes, ma'am.
When you talked about giving CPR, if an individual is now a crime scene, would giving CPR to that deceased person change the crime scene?
Yes.
And so as someone who believed the person was deceased, you did not want to modify or change the crime scene?
Correct.
You were asked about the gun. Is the gun part of the crime scene?
Yes.
Were you responsible for processing the crime scene?
No.
Why didn't you go in there and pick it up and start handling it?
Because I didn't want to alter where it was laying when he got done using it.
You were asked a lot about when 911 was called, when you were dispatched. This was a few years ago?
Several, yes.
2019?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there something called a CAD report that documents when 911 was called, when you were dispatched, when you arrived, and even when you left?
Yes, ma'am.
Would looking at the CAD report help refresh your recollection as to when those events occurred?
Yes.
If I may have my paralegal provide me with a copy of the CAD report.
You want me to?
Starting, does looking at the CAD report help refresh your recollection as to when the 911 call was received?
Yes, ma'am.
When was that?
It was received at 8:36.
Does looking at the CAD report help refresh your recollection as to when you were dispatched?
It appears it was dispatched at 8:37.
So your memory of saying 8:50 or so was perhaps incorrect?
Yes.
Was looking at the CAD report indicate when you arrived?
8:43.
So again, that was a little earlier than your memory was.
Yes, ma'am.
And does looking at the CAD report help determine or refresh your recollection as to when you left the scene?
Yes, ma'am.
When was that?
5:31 p.m.
As a police officer who is one of the first on scene, do you provide briefing or information to your sergeant or the detectives on scene as to what you saw, observed, and did?
If they ask me directly, yes. Somebody will brief them that's on scene.
But you have to provide somebody that information to then provide to the detective.
Yes.
Why is it done that way?
Because usually a supervisor is going to want to know what's going on and what we did, just so the detectives know exactly what they're walking into.
So, for instance, if you had had to move the gun, they would want to know that, right?
Yes.
Or if you had moved the body, they would want to know that too, right?
Yes.
And if you had found any evidence, would they want to know that as well?
Absolutely.
And so is that what you would have to do that day when you are speaking to the sergeant or detectives?
Yes.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
Does any member of the jury have a question for this witness? If so, please write it on the provided form. I'm not seeing any questions come down. You can step down, sir. All right, the state can call its next witness.
Thank you. If I may go get it.
Go ahead and have a seat over here to my left.
Sir, would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
I'm Robert Krautheim.
And where do you currently work?
I currently work at the Sandra Day O'Connor Federal Courthouse.
Back in 2019, where were you working?
As a Chandler police officer in Chandler, Arizona.
How long did you work for the Chandler Police Department?
25 years.
When did you retire?
About 3 years ago, February.
When you were working there in July of 2019, what were your duties at that time?
I was a patrol officer. I was responding to calls for service.
Okay. And do you recall what your shift was at that time?
It was a day shift. I think I start my shift at 6 and end at 4.
Were you working patrol for Chandler Police Department on July 11th of 2019 at about 8:36 a.m.?
I was.
Were you dispatched to 5531 South Four Peaks Place in Chandler, Maricopa County, Arizona?
Yes.
What were you dispatched for?
A shooting that had just occurred.
Based upon the information that was, let me ask you this. When you are arriving to a scene, do you get information relayed to you about this call?
I do.
Why is that?
The call taker is asking the person on the phone what's going on, where it is, who's there, just basic information. And then dispatch relays that information to me as I'm driving to the call for service.
Is that so you have a better idea about what you're walking into?
Yes, it's on a computer, but verbally, the stuff that's really pertinent before I arrive is just verbally done over the air.
So when you were arriving on the scene, did you think this shooting had just occurred?
I did.
When you got to this 5531 South Four Peaks, were there any other officers on scene yet?
Yeah, Officer Wiz was there.
Is that Officer Wiz?
Yes, I'm sorry, I apologize.
What were you wearing?
Patrol outfit, basically a patrol uniform, police uniform, body-worn camera.
And back then, where was your body-worn camera?
At the time, it was a lipstick camera, so part of it was here, and then, but the camera's actually on my right shoulder.
Okay. And was that on and recording as you sort of arrived on scene and while you were present there?
Yeah, I started recording while I was driving there.
Okay. When you arrived, did you know whether or not the 911 caller was still on the phone?
Yes, she was still on the phone.
And When you are talking with dispatch, did you arrange to have this person come out, or did Officer Wisbicki do that?
Yes, dispatch advised him to come out of the home without anything and hands up in the air. That's kind of standard.
And did he comply with that?
He did.
What exit did he come out of?
Out the front door.
Okay. Can you describe sort of his appearance and demeanor as you observed him coming out of the house?
His clothes were clean. He was calm, not emotional at all. Different than what I would have anticipated.
When he first exited, did you notice any injuries to him?
He was holding, it was a white rag at the time. It was just kind of red and white. He was holding it on the back of his head.
When he first exited or later?
As he's coming out of the house.
Did you notice any difficulty walking or talking when you first had contact with him?
No.
Any difficulty sitting or standing?
No.
Did you learn the name of this person?
I did.
What was his name?
Alex Cox.
Did you observe him sweating at all when he first came out?
No.
Any type of jitters?
No.
Any uneven or broken voice as he's talking to you?
No.
At some point, did you notice an injury to him?
I did.
And where was it?
On the back of his head, towards his right side.
And what did you see?
I articulated my written report as about an inch laceration, a small like knot, and it was bleeding a little bit.
We can fix that. Alex Cox patting or rubbing the back of his head with some sort of rag or paper towel?
Yes.
Without going into what was said, did you talk with him?
I did.
Did you offer him medical treatment?
I did.
Did he ask for medical treatment?
He did not.
Was there anything about his talking with you or actions that made you concerned that you thought you should override that?
Yes.
Let me make sure you understood. Was there anything about what you observed with Alex Cox talking or his ability to move that made you think you should override his decision to not get treatment and you thought, oh, he better get treatment. He's so bad off.
Oh, zero, none.
At some point while you were talking with Alex Cox, did you see a female and a teenager show up at the scene?
I did.
And did you eventually go speak with those two?
I did.
Where did you speak with them?
Just on the other side of the street. They had parked right across from the house.
Did you speak with the adult female?
I did.
Did you ask for a driver's license to identify her?
I did.
And who was that person?
Lori Vallow.
Do you see Lori Vallow in the courtroom today?
I do.
Can you point her out and tell us what she is wearing for the record?
She's sitting at the defense table wearing a white shirt underneath a jacket.
Your Honor, may the record reflect the witnesses identified the defendant.
Shall.
When you went to speak with Lori Vallow, did you know that the deceased person in the house was her husband?
I did.
Okay. When you went to speak with Lori Vallow, did you ask her whether or not the individual inside her husband lived there?
I did not ask her that.
Can you describe for us Lori Vallow's demeanor as you were interacting with her?
Calm, nonchalant, just kind of a matter of fact, just talking to me as I'm talking to you now.
When you went to speak with Lori Vallow, can you tell us approximately how many police cars were parked around there?
Well, I don't know either myself. I know there was at least mine and Officer Wiz's. There's a fire truck there. I think there was an ambulance there. And there, I think there may have been another police car. I can't remember, but there was a lot of emergency vehicles just near the home itself.
And was her brother Alex Cox sitting sort of in view of her?
Literally across the street, like the desk of the prosecutor would be her car. This is the street, and I had Alex seated right on the sidewalk.
When she first arrived, did she actually walk up to where you were with Alex Cox?
Yes, she did.
And you asked her to go back to the other side of the street?
I did.
Did she ever ask you how her brother was doing?
No.
Did she ever ask you if her brother needed medical attention from being hit by a bat?
No.
Did she ever ask you why there were so many police cars around the neighborhood?
No.
Did she ask you why there was a fire truck parked in front of her house?
No.
So, other than gathering basic information, did you really talk to her about anything else?
No.
And were you wearing that body-worn camera camera when you had contact with her?
I did.
After you talked with Lori Vallow, did you go back and stand near Alex Cox again?
Yes.
If I can have my paralegal go up and show him exhibit number one. Do you recognize exhibit number one?
I do.
Is that a copy of your body cam footage from July 11th of 2019?
It is.
Is it missing the audio other than during your interaction with Lori Vallow?
Correct, yes.
And did you initially identify that previously as your body cam?
I did.
State will move to admit exhibit number one.
Any objection to exhibit number one? Any
objection
to?
No objection.
Exhibit one's admitted.
And if we could publish it.
Go ahead.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.